each other with open mouth kisses now.
Uh-huh. Oh God.
Wow.
What, you don't? Yeah, that is a move.
You know, I think I usually start with hello, welcome to blah, 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 blah. But I might actually just start the recording when the music fades. It may just be like, we all welcome each other with open mouth kisses.
Yeah.
So. Oh, Ace Guards. Oh, okay. So, ladies and gents, welcome.
That is quite the gift.
That's welcome to the unusual start to the Malkia Talks podcast.
Coolest I've ever.
I put that in the lusty chat.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a lusty chat gift right there, ladies and gents. This is a live recording episode, and it's already getting risque, as you've heard by the intro. And Ace Cards, that's there's a lusty chat for a reason. So let's transfer that over.
Well, this was fun. I'm going to see you guys later. Have a great podcast.
Hetsky.
Yeah, Hetsky.
Kev, hey.
Hey.
We got the Aussies in. You guys indeed, lock your underwear drawer.
There we go.
What? What?
So my guests kind of introducing themselves.
Oh my god, it's chaos already.
All right, sorry.
Over under on like 5 apologies from Dan this show.
That's one.
That's one. Yeah, come on. Keep track, listeners. So, today, as I've said, is a live recording in Discord. We have some listeners, including some of those names that have been mentioned already. Welcome to the live listeners. If you're not listening live and you're catching up on the podcast itself, you've got to be part of the Discord server to catch these. They happen once a month. They do change a little bit about when that is in the month. Sometimes it's near the beginning, sometimes it's near the end. It just depends how schedules work out. And it's just a bit of fun that I do. This month, I am joined by Tree and, well overdue reappearance by the Leaf Brothers of Dan and Ryan. So hello to my lovely guests that have already been chattering away. How are we all doing?
Doing great.
Hello,
doing
Robert. Great.
Good.
We're happy to give you another Leafcast bump. I think the last time we were on your show, you got at least one subscriber out of it. So let's shoot for 2 more this time.
Yeah, why not? the Leaf Boys, you have not been on the podcast. You were one of the first ever guests I had, the first guest being Alex from A Hero's Journey. But you guys came on back in August of last year, August 28th, and we discussed Two Rivers Politics. And that was also a live recording in the server. And God, that
it was great. We kept talking about, you know, COVID ending soon.
Wow.
We were talking about the concerts we were scheduled to see around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We were talking about the open mouth kisses that were, we were looking forward to.
So glad it's back. Thanks for having us back, Rob. It's been a while. We do see you somewhat regularly on our show as our production Sedai. But it is very nice to enter your home and sit with y'all and talk some Wheel of Time with you.
Love that. Yeah, it's good to – it's great to have you back. I do see you quite often on your show, but this is a too infrequent visit to my show. So I'm glad that we can get you reappearing. And you'll be appearing – again next month for MalkyrieCon. We'll be having some chaos there at the end of June. So that's the year-long party for the podcast.
A year-long party?
Not a year-long party. I'm not quite. I live stream 24 hours occasionally. I'm not sure if I could do a year-long live stream. That might be a tad much.
You're going to have to upgrade your StreamYard.
Oh, I would have to upgrade so many things. That would be crazy, but we'll have you back for that. And Tree, you've been on speaking the YouTube. You've been on the YouTube Tree, but this is your first time on the podcast, isn't it?
Yes, my first time on anybody's Discord podcast. So.
Seriously, you've not been on anyone else's podcast recording?
This is my first time.
Wow! Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The podcasters out there, you need to change because Tree's wonderful to listen to and talk to and. She has fun ideas, so don't let her tell you that she doesn't know anything.
Because she will, two or three times, and you convince her otherwise, and she'll blow your mind.
As she's blowing your mind, she's like, ah, I don't know anything, but here's the gentleman.
You give me too much credit. Too much credit.
Just enough.
No, Ace Cards has said it in chat, Tree is awesome. So, Tree, what sort of stuff do you do in the fandom? I think people are aware of what the puppets do, but tell us what you do.
Well, I do some Wheel of Time art, and I like to, like, I've done a few logos for a few of the content creators, and I just like to help people out. Like, I'm a illustrator and a graphic designer, so... Yeah, I just like to help people out when I can and do Wheel of Time art, really. I have like a server as well for art people, if you're into that.
I really love your modesty, Tree.
Her modest tree.
Oh my god.
Her modest tree. Oh wow.
All right, so I've seen several of Tree's works, and each time my jaw hits the floor. And I feel so proud to have such talented friends. Tree does fantastic work. She has a server where she does work with other artists as well, trying to encourage some art and doing stepping outside your comfort zone and trying to do to try something you haven't tried before in an artistic way. And I really like what you've been doing. I like your drawings immensely. And you are doing commissions soon, right?
Yeah, I do commissions. Like, if you're interested in that, I'd be happy to, you know, do a piece of Wheel of Time art that you would like to see.
Maybe we can, Tree, maybe you can pop one up in the chat while we're talking, one or two of your artworks, because seriously, it is next level, guys. It's no joke. It's no joke.
Oh, man.
So now, Tree, I'm going to come, once we can get over COVID, I'm going to come and like sit and you're going to do a portrait of me, right? We talked
about this. Oh, of course. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Portrait?
No, fully what? Clothed, though. I'm just letting. I'm
sitting.
I feel like I have to make that rule very clear before we start.
I want a majestic nude.
Well, you know, Dad, you have the legs. Ryan is just a floating body, basically.
Not just.
I got big toes.
Big toes. A big toe.
Yeah. Just one.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it just one or is it all of them?
It's just one.
One on each foot. So he has two. His toes. He has two there. But if you're curious, you want to see any of Tree's work that you might not realize you've seen. If you've seen it, the Wheel Reads logo, Tree did that, didn't you, Tree?
Yes.
And Tree, earlier this year, was commissioned by the folks at SpoilerCon to actually create their official logo for the SpoilerCon convention. And that is something really exciting. I recommended Tree for it. it's epic. So if you see any, just you can Google SpoilerCon, what spoilers, and you'll see it. They've got a brand new website that they've put on with, so it's great. So Tree does some awesome artwork. I'm blessed to be joined by such talented artists, all three of you, musicians, comedic, just insanity and artistry. It's great to have you all here,
Rob. That's some great modesty you're showing us. Thanks,
modesty. Well, and that's a lot from coming from the guy who is the hardest working man in the community.
Oof, I don't know about
hands
that.
Hands down, Rob. I'm
just
much.
A sucker for doing too much. this weekend has been crazy. So this weekend, obviously, I finally managed to reappear on the Leaf Show on Thursday, which is epic. And then there was a fun gathering last night amongst a group of us. And then tonight, I'm working 4 days in between this. And then tonight is this recording at 1 a.m. So last night was 3 a.m. Tonight is 1 a.m. Thursday was 1 a.m. And then I'm at work tomorrow. And then I finish work. Midnight is the Leaf Show. And then at 2 a.m. is the Black Tower panel, which the Leaf Boys are on. I've seen the Leaf Boys a lot this weekend. It's beautiful. So
it feels like we're like Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion, and we're just skipping on to the Emerald City together, Rob.
I'm absolutely down for that.
I love it. So.
But enough chin wagging and stuff. We're here to talk a theory. Tree, how did you mention this? Like, where did this appear? Where were we? What were we doing?
So I was on the Black Tower podcast, and they were talking about things that you wish happened in the book. One of the things that I wished had happened was that I kind of wished that Fane somehow took over the powers of Mashadar and Machin Chin for the last battle, because I thought that'd be pretty cool. He had connections to the Ways. The Ways, like, Machin Chin is the Ways. Yeah, okay. So they were scared of him, right? Like, we got that little bit of insight. And then Mashadar with the dagger and Shadar Logoth and Mordoth, I just kind of connected them all and thought that they would have way more impact for the last battle that never really played out that way.
And then we sort of dropped in the Bolt of Wind to counteract said mystical powers, emphasis on the mist there, obviously.
Yeah, well, I thought that would just make sense, right? Like, the Bolt of Winds would take care of the evil winds.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Now, anyone listening who's not aware, this is a spoiler podcast, so... I always forget to throw that out there, and it suddenly occurred to me, why not say that for once, Rob? So, yeah, this is a spoiler podcast. If you've listened this far and not realized, and you've not finished the books, you're about to be spoiled. So, listen at your own risk. Where should we start with this?
Well, allow me, Tree, this theory is fucking fantastic. And I embrace it like I would a newborn baby from my wife's tummy.
I mean, it's historically true that every baby Dan has, he picks it up, holds it up, and says, "This is fucking fantastic."
This is fucking fantastic.
Every single one of them. I'm not going to name how number the number.
And I embrace them, and they're like, sir, let's. We need to cut things. And I'm like, okay. This theory made me do a double take in my head. The fact that the Bowl of the Winds could have been the direct counter to the mists and the wind. This was the two evils, was Mashadar and Machin Chin. And they were essentially elements of air and water, you would think, and to have the Bowl of the Winds be the counter to that, I had never considered before I heard it from your mouth, and I think it instantly makes sense to me. It makes perfect logic, and I think that was a missed opportunity.
I agree. I very much agree. I don't know, do we like the ending with Thane? What do people think about that before we carry on? Like, I want to ask that question. The way that Thane was dealt with,
No.
What are you going to debate?
No, like, I don't like it.
Hot out.
Like, mostly, I don't even remember.
Thane becomes a nebulous creature that is hard to even picture. And I may have liked it a little bit better if Matt didn't do like a little catchphrase as he was sliding around. Like he kind of did like a little hasta la vista, baby. Thane to me was the wild card. Thane was the uncontrolled. He was there was the dark, there was the light, and then there was Thane. That was chaos, and chaos manifested itself into some blob rolling thing, it fizzled out greatly. And I was not a big fan of how Thane met his match. I think he was a powerful, exciting creature up until when he died, and it's like, oh, okay, well, forget that then.
It was logical that Matt was immune to the powers of Thane, but the way it was dealt with was definitely kind of like, oh, by the way, we did this. And next.
Mashadar was only a part of Thane. Thane himself had Machin Chin, which was the wind that would, I would still think, affect Matt, correct? So I don't think he had complete immunity to Thane's chaos.
Yeah, I think so.
So, but I mean, at the end of books, it was so easily dealt with, wasn't it? But okay, so let's pretend that this bit doesn't happen and we'll use the Bowl of the Winds instead. Like, how is that going to happen? Because the Bowl of the Winds is used at the end to control the crazy weather that is happening at the boar, so to speak. Like, is that not going to happen, do we think? And then we would be using it against Fain. Like,
Fain is a force of nature at this point, the way that I had envisioned it. And I can see how it would be like, oh, we're using the bowl, we're using almost all this energy, and then suddenly, like, over the hills, you just see, like, the nothing coming, this rolling chaos of air and mist, and they have to redirect some of it over there. I could see it being pretty tense.
It would have to be like established early, and hinted at its power. It would have to somehow, you know, someone's story arc will have to be involved with the Bowl of the Wind very strongly. Like, they're just somehow carrying it around with them. I don't know why, but so they just happen to have it. Like, oh shit, I have the bowl. Like, oh my god, here's this like mist coming. To make it logical, you know, make it make sense, or we have so many connections would have to be made early on. But I still think it would totally work because, again, like, I don't think Fain becomes Mashin Shin. I still don't even understand, like, what he is at that point. Maybe we can discuss that a little bit, what we think he was. Was he a force of nature? Was he just using, like, a some sort of, like, hey, look over there, like something like that. That's just confusing, I can't think of the word. Some sort of illusion. Was it like an illusion to create the chaos so that he can get in there and get physically close to whoever he wanted to? Which is kind of seemed what he did. Didn't he kind of like roll up onto Matt on his horse, like out of nowhere, like in physical form? What is he at this point?
Well, it's been put in the chat. So Garen Stonewolf, that's Paul Stonewolf's cousin, by the way, if anyone's curious who Garen Stonewolf is.
Oh, Paul, I went to school with Paul Stonewolf.
There we go. See?
Wow.
I had three of them in here. They're triplets. cousin Garen says, I think Thane had an understanding with Mashin Shin, but it is not part of him. I think that kind of works. Like, they almost implies that they work in tandem.
Yeah, like, I didn't think they were all a part of each other. I just thought they were all connected. And because the Black Wind was afraid of him, like, he might have had a certain level of control if they decided to go in that direction. It would have made sense to me.
Mashin Shin was affected by Fain, and Fain was affected by Mashin Shin, but the two still existed. I actually wonder if Mashadar was still the force of nature that it was before Fain showed up.
Well, I mean, Maureen kind of knew about it, though. Maureen saw it and was like, oh, you know, and was able to kind of give her little info dump to everyone. And then,
so like 6 months later, if someone wanders into Shadow Logoth, is Mashadar still hanging out there?
Actually, Mashadar is just kind of like listening to like crazy music and like partying. He's on heroin.
Well, I kind of was thinking that, like, when Rand destroyed Shadar Logoth, maybe Mashadar was drawn to Fain at that point.
That was my thought as well. And so to take that to the next level, is Shadar Logoth now free of this fog? It seemed like that was an essence to Fain to me when he became Ordeath.
Yeah, but I mean, the Mashadar's evil is so strong that it would have stayed there until Shadar Logoth was destroyed, and then it would have gone somewhere else, which the next strongest sense of evil at that point would have been Fain, and they already had a connection, right?
Mm. Yeah, Fain in the dagger, there was a connection there.
Oh, and Garen Stonewolf, rather, did answer. Mashadar still existed when there was the Maiden.
Yeah. And that makes sense because that was before before Shadar Logoth was destroyed.
Okay, so Thane's sort of like misting power is kind of like a cousin to Mashadar type situation, do we think then? Or is this just Mashin Shin being kind of like buddy-buddy with Thane?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, do we even see Fane as being like human? I did not at the end. Did you?
Yeah, no. He's more like the Gollum, kind of.
Without the Smeagol pup.
And more fog gone. And rolling chaos and killing things that it touches.
That's an we've had an interesting headcanon put in chat by Wolf Robert. My headcanon is Mashadar was destroyed with Shadow Logoth, but as Fane's power grew, he manifested a new Mashadar at the boar.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, Mashadar was manifested because of the evil surrounding it, right?
And Fane is a different kind of evil. That
could
is,
it be that like Fane kind of learns through these encounters. So like, I was thinking about this like. Can like when Nynaeve and Egwene see a flow done towards them, they can almost instantly learn it and do it. You know, is this somehow like a skill that he's acquired where he's just like,
ooh, maybe.
You know, he's like sit, he just sat in like Mashin Shin for a while and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened to him when he went to the boar, right? In the beginning to make him such a strong tracker.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he was distilled, I believe, is the word.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Such a word. Oh.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, coffee. He just got filtered.
Yeah.
They ground him up and just poured hot water on him.
Okay. So, going back to the Bolt of Winds connection here, like, how... So, the Bolt of Winds, obviously, you know, can be used to control the weather, and when it's used to... stop the Dark One from having control, like fixing the weather in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's described as, oh, I've made the slightest turn on this, you know, giant wheel turning, you know, this giant boat type situation, you know, the sea folk person who name eluded me basically says, you know, I've made the tiniest change on this giant boat and it will take a while for the ship to even know it needs to turn type situation. Now, how is the bowl going to be used against Fane in the Mists sort of situation? Like, is it basically just, you know, changing the weather so that it's unsuitable for the Mists? Getting very just basic there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could create some kind of, like, wind barrier that can contain it for the amount of time it takes to kill Fane. And then when Fane dies, maybe they just, like, dissipate.
Oh.
Seems kind of simple when you think about it. But, I mean, it would take a lot of power and concentration.
Yeah, just, like, whip up a tornado and, like... You know, like, and just like shoot it up, shoot it up to the sky a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold it there for a bit.
Yeah. And trying to maintain that while other like bad weather is happening might have been pretty dramatic.
I'm getting Scarlet Witch vibes now with what is it where she stops that guy from blowing himself up and sort of sends the explosion upwards and blows up the building. I forget the movie which one that happens in. One of the Marvel movies.
A Princess Bride.
That's it.
Yeah. I actually channel with my left hand. The weather funnel idea. So whilst trying to control the weather, we're suggesting perhaps that they could just like contain Thane using some kind of vortex or funnel type thing. Yeah. Okay. I like that idea. Chat seems to like it as well.
Well, here's the issue though, is that the Bowl of Winds was not an immediate Tauranguil. It did not immediately affect things. It kind of shifted the course of weather. It pushed certain things together. So the effects didn't necessarily, and in fact, I'm looking right now on the wiki. It says the effects of the Bowl of the Winds took within days. The prolonged heat quickly became dispelled and bring about delayed winter accelerated pace. So it doesn't instantly happen. So I wonder if the bowl could be used to, I mean, would it just kind of move the system that was the storm front Fane up to the northwest instead of...
Yeah. the thing about that is that like if they had the power and they tried to change the weather immediately, like the disasters that would have happened if it wasn't like a gradual change. And because they haven't had it for, was it 2,000 years?
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So maybe now since they've had it and they have like Elaine who can, you know, learn about Tauranguil now, maybe they learned some more powers that it can get over the course of time.
No, I like that idea. Just take Pat and Fane and just put them over Tarn Ferry. Over Tarn Ferry.
Just move them over there.
Is this where the supposed what is it called in the water?
Water spell?
Guys, make sure you guys get enough sleep.
Typhoon?
Sleep. Don't follow Rob's example and get enough sleep. Whirlpool.
Thank you, Ace Guards. Whirlpool, yes. Is this kind of, we'll just put Fade over there by Tarrant Ferry, and that's where the Whirlpool comes from, and like... Is the Whirlpool now going to be a precursor to the Alphane ends? Is this a TV show thing we tied in now?
Yes. I love that Whirlpool scene. That power just didn't really come back.
we'll blame it on Fane. Chad is also, by the way, whilst we were talking about the length of time it would take for the boss to make any changes, Chad is saying that because it was a worldwide effect, that's why it took so long, and you could use it at a regional level far quicker. I think that kind of fits.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you could use it local, like in a local area more immediately. I can see that. Here's a little bit of trivia, by the way. At JordanCon 8, Harriet McDougal was given a large glass bowl of the winds as a gift by members of the Waygate Foundation.
Oh.
So she has one. We can try it.
We can try it. Harriet, you'll need to bring it to JordanCon 22 because I can't make it to 21. Yeah. So
we got to do some experiments.
Mm-hmm. That is next year's a follow-up episode. So I like that idea. But I was getting some kind of goofy local weatherman vibe now instead of the national weatherman. And I was like, no, they're just as inaccurate of their predictions. So. And I couldn't make a good joke out of that. So,
When I was thinking about the idea of Tarangreal and the White Tower, it is more or less like chemists that stumble upon hallucinogenic compounds. And
go on.
They are more or less just trying things out and have no idea what the outcome is going to be. So they found like the three arches. That's just something they use for initiation. That may not have been its actual use, but they figured it out and they're like, all right, well, this seems pretty tough. Let's let's try to put like our sorority sisters through this thing. Ha ha ha. The Tarangreal itself may have been used for maybe a therapeutic use.
Entertainment?
It could have been. There are other opportunities for something like that Tarangreal's use, but the White Tower just uses it for an initiation. Just, all right, if you get through it, we know what it does. It doesn't kill you, probably. All right, go on in, and if you make it out the end, we're going to pour water on your naked body, and you're in.
Okay, so what? Let's think of other uses for the bowl then. So are saying, no, people are, you know, the bowl, the Windfinder is saying the bowl is used to control weather, and, you know, it was their Tarangreal that was lost to them type thing. What, let's say we've decided that's the use now these days, but we don't know what it was actually invented for. What do you think the bowl was invented for? Kev, you're quite right. It would be great fun at pool parties.
Are we assuming that the bowl is unique?
I think so.
Okay.
Has any of them actually tried to turn the bowl over upside down? Yeah, you think about that. Oh. So what if they turned upside down? Would they be able to detect weather?
It's the weather dome. The dome of the winds.
Oh, look at Ace Cards just dropping facts in the chat. Yes, it was used to control the waiver of the Age of Legends. I was just
hold on, Ace Cards. According to my wiki, it says that weather was not something that the Aes Sedai really did in the Age of Legends. It's a third age thing, and so it was probably from the Breaking or beyond. So I did a little research.
That's interesting, because what would they really need something like that for before the breaking?
Well, what the sea folk used it to survive the breaking of the world. The seas were pretty gnarly, during all the upheaval, apparently, I'm guessing. And that's what...
Did they part the sea like Moses?
I'm saying they controlled the sea like Jesus.
Jesus.
Remember, it was all stormy and then he got in the boat and it got all clear?
So at some point, somebody knew how to make this thing. So then I don't see why there couldn't be more than one.
Yeah, are we assuming there is only one? Like,
I think at this point we are. Maybe the other ones were broken and this is the last one left or the only one we know about.
Maybe some random people, like some family, just like, hey, this is like a Aunt Granny's like favorite soup bowl is just sitting there.
I think it should have just been like a little wash basin. You just do a little channeling and it would just clean you. Like you could just control water and you would have.
It's like a reverse shower. You would stand in it and the water would just rise up and wash you. Okay. It's just like a personal washing device is what was discussed. Okay. Yeah.
It's a bidet. An early bidet.
An early bidet.
You pee in it and it splashes clean water up.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, I love chat right now. We're getting like passing of the sea gifts in chat and like, yes, confirmed Jesus can channel. Bowl of winds, fork of fire, spoon of the waves, and plates of boulder. Wow.
Sewell's just like,
and then he just confirmed it is a bidet. Yeah.
Kev is definitely trying. You're quite right, Kev. I'm kind of with you on that one. That it does say it is mentioned somewhere that Chongirls were used in the Age of Villages to control climate, weather type thing. I can't remember where that's mentioned. I feel that's kind of true, but you know, wikis are notoriously interesting to quote and reference from. So
So's the Bible. We do it all the time. I'm looking at the sea part in front of my face twice.
I love when the gifts of God in chat. We started off with the really inappropriate open mouth kissing gift, and now we've just got like passing waves and stuff. So, they've definitely lowered in risque nature. Who knows what will happen in the post show? But all right, so. This kind of made us think a little bit about, I think, have we covered all of your questions here, Tree? So how does Fane gain control of Mashalo Magician? Yes. How does he get them out of the ways in Shadow Logoth?
Yeah, that was my next question. How does he get them out of the ways? Get the wind out of the ways?
That's a good point.
That's a pickle.
Well, I do like... Garen Stonewolf's theory that there was... and she had said arrangement, but I don't think they sat down and kind of said, okay, well, where am I? But I think there was like a counter taint of them. And so after they did meet per se, we have Mashin Shin pretty much stalking Ran at all the way gates. He tries to go in at Tar Valon. It's waiting there and like, and goes out a few feet, like trying to grab at him. They go to the Shanghai setting, and the same thing occurs. And so the question to how Mashin Shin is following or tracking Ran, I think it's that counter taint that may have occurred. And we do see this sort of amalgamation with Lord Luke and Slayer. To a certain degree, where the two kind of become this one, but are still two. And that's how I picture Fane and Mashin Shin.
Real quickly, it's not the Shanghai setting.
Shanghai.
It's a shedding stofu.
Shedding food. Oh, okay.
Shedding stofu. Shedding shofu.
Shedding stofu. Shedding Shanghai. Yeah. So I was just going to say quickly, there was a part where the ogres were going around and they were destroying some of these way gates so that the Trollocs couldn't pass through them, right? Or am I making that up?
So Loyal and I forget the name of the Ashman he was going around with. I believe, is it because of the K? Chat, help me out here. Steading Soul Food is officially going to be the name of it. If I ever open my own restaurant, I love chatting about it. If I ever open my own restaurant, Steading Soul Food is what I'm going to call it. In fact, that is now the name of my kitchen, just in general. I'm going to get a sign made.
It's deep fried and delicious.
Oh, so good. Anyway, I was thinking like maybe the Waygates were like kind of like a seal, like the seals on the Dark One. And when they started breaking them, maybe... the bar on Mush and Chin got weakened and he was able to escape.
That's interesting to think about. I always had this little joke headcanon, and it is purely a joke headcanon, but it was like, you know that joke about how dinosaurs can't open doors because they can't figure out how to use the door handle? That Mashadar was there just like, you know, where's the T-Rex mini video for me to play right now?
Oh, that's great. That's so funny.
Right, I'm not on video.
On other shows, I'm getting ridiculed.
On other shows, yeah. It's like the Matt Hatch Man Fear thing. You know, you just, I've got short arms.
Yeah. Well, I've always had a theory that in Mash and Shin is really, there's like a guy in the middle of it who's just like begging to be freed, and like he's a simple dude and he's just like, guys, help me out. So that's one theory, but my new theory is that if Mash and Shin were to actually get out of the ways, they'd probably calm down and be like, oh, this is pretty nice.
Yeah.
They don't want us to kill and eat and stab.
Would we call
that would destroy my theory, but
would
I
we
like
call
it.
The Waygates Tarangrial? What is it, the one that you don't have to put power into that it still works?
Tangrel.
First off, I never noticed it, Rob, you edited it to take out the big head and only say little arms. Thanks.
No, I found that one, to be honest. I didn't make that one myself.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. No, it says I have big head and little arms.
Yeah, just to give reference to those listening and not in the chat. Two GIFs have appeared of the simultaneously myself and Hitsky put it in of the dinosaur from Meet the Robinsons, where it's like, I have a big head and little arms. And when I play it on the Leafcast show, it just says, I have little arms. That was the clip I found on the clip thing that Ryan loves to use, and it has some epic little clips you can just load up and play. They're brilliant. So yeah, that's what that comes from.
So good.
So, we've actually got some companion stuff being dropped in. Yes, the Ashman. Thank you. Kaldin Manfor. That was the name of the Ashman that's going around for loyal. Thank you very much for that, Ace Guards.
Wow, nerd. Thank you.
Yes.
Love it.
Love when the companion gets dropped out.
So, I don't know if it was the Ogier as a group as opposed to just loyal was going around doing it, right?
Okay, yeah, I remember that, but I didn't really remember the specific details. So it's been too long since I've read this series.
Oh, I like this idea. Kevin in the chat saying that he always thought that Fane's obsession with Ran was just like transferred onto the Black Wind, maybe not even on purpose.
Oh,
ooh,
maybe. That's interesting.
Well, I know this is off topic, surprise, but Mash and Chin almost leaves the ways. If they don't shut the way gate in Tar Valon, it was a good like 6 feet out of the ways. It said it was like two spans out of the way gate and was reaching out. Now, we had learned that Mash and Chin was a captive to the ways and was a creation of the ways and never left the ways. If they didn't shut that way gate, would Mash and Chin have actually left the ways, do you think?
I think I love in chat that Kevin's now like renamed the theory or redescribed the theory. Fane was all buddy buddy with the wind and was like, look, there's this like really cute farm boy. I've got to point out, often Garen, Zul is Garen's real name. Zul listens to my theory or theories and goes, not sure I can get on board with that, basically. And then tells me where I'm wrong and stuff, which I adore. Thank you so much, Zul. I appreciate you listening and caring enough to point out my inaccuracies. I love that. But Zul's on board with that idea. So well done, Kev. You're a better theorier than I am. Theorizer, what's the appropriate word?
I like theorier.
Theoria, cool.
You're an inferior theory.
I'm an inferior Therian. There we go. I like that. Theorist, deep nerd Kev strikes again. Yes.
Kabow.
Love it. So, I oh, God. Would Match and Shin actually have gotten out of the ways at that point? It's heavily implied, isn't it? So.
Well, Varen, yeah. Varen gets very upset and was like, nope.
Yeah.
That did not happen. He did not leave the ways, right? Like, and she was like, he's a creature of the ways.
Yeah, the canon is that Match and Shin and the darkness of the ways came from the taint on Sidene, because Sidene was used to create the ways. Obviously, that was all done post madness and the taint being put on Sidene. So that is canon for where Match and Shin came from. But there's nothing there that says to me Match and Shin could never leave.
I think I did read there was. Either it was Moraine or Varen was like, well, no, he is a I think Ryan said it right. He is a creature of the ways. And they said it's impossible for him to leave. Or it. They. Let's say they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both literally and respectfully.
So that was just kind of a muscle flex. Like, look, I can, you know, sort of expand a little bit from the ways, but I can't actually leave type situation. And the Brand and everyone was just overreacting and be like, it was going to get out. It was going to get out quick type thing.
I like to think if we could actually spend a couple minutes in the 13th repository, I think it is, where all the Angreal and Terangreal are stored. Is that where it's at?
Isn't that the library? The 13th repository is the library.
Oh, okay. Then in the cellar where they have all like the, I don't know, where they have all their goods.
In the suppository.
Oh, gosh. I'm pretty sure that if we looked around, we would see maybe like a Roomba, or we would see, and they're like, I don't know what it does, but if we put a little air into it, it like vacuums. I think that the Age of Legends probably had all kinds of little things that did household thing that put on makeup that you would just like look into a mirror and it would just like make you look great. And I think they probably simplified their lives a great deal with these Terangreal, the way that we use appliances now. But if we came across something like a microwave in the 12th century, we'd be like, well, what the fuck is this? Huh. I don't know what this does.
Who's gonna put their first child in?
Right. You want to send it? I don't know. Yeah. You turn on the vacuum and some 12th century dog gets upset and you're like, oh no, it's something that scares away dogs.
It's a dog real.
Do you have a dog in your neighborhood that does not belong to anyone and you need to get rid of it? Use our dustbuster to Angreal. Just plug it in and turn it on. That dog will be gone before you know it.
So that's essentially what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people in the Renaissance or Middle Ages mentality and technology finding shit that is from an advanced society. And they use channeling to try to, I mean, that is the power source for it, but it's more or less finding like,
yeah, I'm surprised they have that Mercedes-Benz symbol just sitting there in like on display. I'm sure. Why didn't they use that for some sort of like cutting device, like slice your apples with it or something?
Right. They wouldn't know anything. They wouldn't know anything. They would think it was a weapon, I would think, or a tool. I don't know. But all that stuff. So that's what we look at. We're like, this is either a weapon or tool because these people are so primitive. But they know that the Age of Legends was much more advanced than them. So they are trying to catch up and they find all this cool shit. And they're like, all right, let's try this.
Let's roll the dice. Who's drawing the short straw?
So I really like to think that accepted test, Terangreal, was used for therapy, was a therapeutic tool to allow people to physically address their demons.
Wow.
I think it's being completely misused.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, wow. An extra topic we talked about was before the recording in our just general chat was missed opportunities with just Terangreal, like things you could have instead, like, why did they not do this, or what was the original purpose of that type of thing. So I like that idea. That's quite mm-hmm. intriguing that it's a therapy device as opposed to a rite of passage testing, I don't know, strength of character type thing. So yes, Ryan, you're right in chat. Missed opportunities. I might have to touch that. Missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Here all week.
With the bowl and other stuff. Here all weekend. We've already covered that. Here all weekend. So, you know.
Yeah.
I love Ken as well. Kev, like, watching my parents try to program a DVD player in the late 90s.
Oh, man, we just put that black tape over that blinking 12.
right.
That's never going to go away. That blinker is going to blink forever.
What am I, an engineer?
Okay, so let's have a quick look at Tree's next question. So if the Bolt of Winds has to deal with Mashadar, Machin Shin, what is the collateral damage regarding the weather during the last battle and other potentially devastating consequences? Because as I mentioned at the beginning, the bowl is used to control the weather at the end there. So if we were using it against Fane in this little funnel tornado containment thing, like, what's happening with the weather? Have we let the weather go nutty sort of situation?
Well, you know, let's think about it. You know, a modern corollary type conversation, we are having our own weather, worldwide weather issues. I can imagine a scenario where, in fact, the entire story of how the Age of Legends or whatever they are using this to control weather, is it clear when we're doing this, Third Age, Age of Legends, either one, I can totally see it being that because it's so long ago, we don't know what the real story is, right? Legend, you know, legend turns to myth, right? So it could be that
turns to mist.
legend, yeah. John Legend turns to mist. What could have actually happened was actually like weather related catastrophes because they've been fucking around with nature, and they didn't really know what they were doing.
So I had a follow-up idea. Could Fane potentially, you know, be taking over the crazy weather during the last battle instead of the Dark One? Like, what if that was the case? Like, they're fighting the weather at the end. You know, Fane's got control of these mists and things of that nature. Perhaps, like, what if Fane had that control? What if Fane was the cause of those things? What do you think about that?
Am I mistaken to remember that Fane was accompanied with lightning clouds? Wasn't that a part of his being as he was rolling up to the last battle?
I don't remember that.
Were we considering a reading, Rob?
That it does say in the notes that we're considering a reading. Potentially I might try and dig out. I've never done a reading on my own podcast. I've only ever done it on the YouTube, so I might chat people. Let me bring out the book and try and find a page.
Memory is that, like, he literally somehow rolls around, like he rolls up onto, like, Matt on a horse, and Matt just kind of, like, accidentally kills him in a way. And, like, that's my memory, is like he physically pops out. It was like, ta-da!
He like kind of played dead, and it went over him, and he's like, haha, and stabbed him and rolled away.
Yeah, I wish I remembered it better. Like, I just remember being, like, really disappointed and saying, that's it, mm-hmm. really? And then I just, like, moved on with the rest of the last battle. But the disappointment is what stuck with me the most.
So this is, ladies and gents, I'm going to do an impromptu reading. This is normally with
there
music.
We go.
Or, you know, me rushing around in the kitchen during charity streams, making honey cakes and trying to fill an hour. Okay, light. That mist was approaching the path up to Rand. It was picking up speed, rolling over Aiel, Trollocs, and Darkhounds alike. There, Matt thought, picking up a man fool enough to fight Darkhounds. Perrin slammed his hammer down on a Darkhound's head, cracking it and forcing it into the ground. When he raised the hammer, it trailed smoke behind it. Darkhound amazingly remained dead. Perrin turned and then stared. Matt, he called. What are you doing here? Coming to help, Matt said, against my bloody better judgments. You can't fight Dark Hounds, Matt, Perrin said as Matt rode up beside him. I can, and so can the last hunt. He dropped his head and then looked toward the sound of a horn. No, Matt said, I didn't sound it. That bloody burden has passed to someone who actually seems to enjoy it. It's not that, Matt, Perrin stepped up, reaching and taking him by the arm as he sat mounted.
My wife, Matt, please, she had the horn. Matt looked down, feeling grim. The lad said, Light Perrin, Fire was at Merilor, and led the Trollocs away from Ulver so he could escape with the horn. Then she could still be alive, Perrin said. Yes, of course she could, Matt said. What else could he say? Perrin, you need to know something else. Thane is here on the battlefield. Thane, Perrin growled. Where? He's in that mist, Perrin. He bought Mashadar somehow. Don't let it touch you. I was in Shadow Logoth too, Matt, Perrin said. I have a debt to settle with Thane. And I don't, Matt said. I? Perrin's eyes opened wide and he stared at Matt's chest. There, a small ribbon of silvery mist, Mashadar's mist, had speared Matt from behind through the chest. Matt looked at it, jerked once, then tumbled off his horse. Shaisam seized the battlefield, his mist shoving through those wolves and men who fought to bar his way to Alfor. Yes, Alfor, the one he would kill, destroy, feast upon. Yes, Alfor. Something trembled at the edge of one of his senses. Shaisam hesitated, frowning to himself. What was wrong there? A piece of him. A piece of him had stopped sensing. What was this? He ran his physical form across the ground through the mist. Blood trailed from his fingers, flayed by the dagger he carries. The wonderful seed, the last bit of his old self. He came upon a corpse, one that his mist had killed. Shaisam frowned, bending down. That body looked familiar. The corpse's hand reached up and grabbed Shaisam by the throat. He gasped, thrashing, as the corpse opened its eye. There's an odd thing about diseases I once heard, Thane, Matrin Corfin whispered. Once you catch a disease and survive, you can't get it again. Shaisam thrashed, panicked. No! No, this was not how a meeting with an old friend should go. He clawed at the hand holding him, then realized with horror that he'd dropped the dagger. Corfin pulled him down, slamming him to the ground. Shaisam called for his drones. Too late, too slow. I've come to give you your gift back, Mordief, Corfin whispered. I consider our debt paid in full. Corfin rammed the dagger right between the ribs into Shaisam's heart. Tied to this pitiful mortal form, Mordief screamed. Padden Thane howled and felt his flesh melting from his bones. The mist trembled, began to swirl and shake. Together they died.
Very good reading.
Considering I hadn't prepped that, yeah, I felt okay about that.
No, very good reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not... Fane, that was like a paragraph or two to eliminate this thing that's been building since book one.
Yeah, and Shaisam was kind of just catches you off guard, doesn't it? So I think...
Yeah.
Because I didn't get any link of that prior.
So I guess he was just hanging out with Mashadar. Mashadar was just whipping things up and then he was just feeding off it. But I guess they weren't the same. I don't know.
No. Well, it was just using Thane to then sort of restart again. Yeah. So, yes, we're probably quite right. So the only thing that could kill Mordief Mashadar is itself.
I could have done without Matt's little funny thing. Talk that yeah. That kind of ruined it for me, to be honest.
I'm kind of envisioning Barney Harris saying that now in his British accent, and I don't know.
He could make it work. I can see that happening. Yeah.
So another thought I had just stemming off this idea is the power that Thane, Mordief, Shaisam, however you know it's calling itself at that stage, is the power of that creature based within the mists, like the mist is the source of its power. So if you remove the mists or trap them somehow, are you removing the power from that entity? Do we think that's possible?
I was or it's like the,
oh, could, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It could be like he's also could be using it to hide, basically, to obfuscate himself. So if you're able to like eradicate the wind somehow, he could just be like the Emperor's new with you know Emperor's new clothes, just exposed.
I like Garen saying in chat, Shaisam used the seed of Mashadar and the souls of those it ate to grow a new Mashadar. I like that. I hadn't considered that the souls were helping it grow.
So right now I'm picturing in my head like an anime scene where two people kind of go Kamehameha and like go psh, and the bars are hitting and then who's ever stronger. So I can see like a comparable scene with the Bowl of the Winds versus Mashadar, and behind the Bowl of the Winds are the Aes Sedai, and behind Mashadar's Shaidar.
Shaisam, Fane, what do you
Yeah, Fane. and just kind of and it moving back and forth by whoever has the most will. They're all going, they got veins popping on their forehead. They got little, their eyes twitching. They got little sweat trickling. They're like, I've never seen such power.
And then you get that one vein that grows on top of the other vein.
Yeah, that means you're really straining.
Oh my god! I'm just waiting for the Super Saiyan conversation to start.
Super Saiyan, yeah, exactly. Kame!
Okay. All right. I like Kev's point in chat here as well. The line from Matt. Just spelling out for everyone how he survived was very un-Jordan-like writing. RJ would definitely have left us to figure that one out. And there's got a few people agreeing with that one. I think that's true. It was too neatly explained. It does make sense, but it is very neat and very tidy, and that is very un-Jordan.
And do we even know how he deduced that? Was there anywhere where he figured out that he's going to be cool and like be immune in any way?
I mean, having just read that section, that was literally, I skipped like a part of a chapter from the end of 46 to like the second paragraph in 47. And that was the complete mention there. So I think it just kind of occurred to Matt after he'd been captured and, or like ripped off his horse by the little piece of fog there. He then just gets Shice and walks over, and Matt's like, hey, actually, you know, you can't get this twice. So I suppose that says to me he just kind of like lucked out, I suppose, is the appropriate description for Matt there. I don't think he knew in advance. I think he just, it happened and was like, oh, it didn't actually do anything to me. I must be immune. Must be a disease thing. Thank you, Nynaeve, for that tip.
It seemed more like, you know, he was, Sanderson was trying to like, write more to develop Matt's character. It seemed to be more about Matt than the entire breadth of this guy's character arc to like end it that way. It just seemed to be like he was more focused on like making sure like he made more. I mean, but I kind of hate how he made Matt all like a you know, he kind of made Matt like silly towards the end. So that seemed like in keeping with him.
Yeah, as words. I think it was just things were too neatly explained with Matt, and it was, you know, should have been more questioning. So, but this is not a Brandon bashing segment. We're talking about the bowl.
So let me ask you guys. So what common thing do you think that the Age of Legends had Tarangreal to take care of? I'm thinking they had a toilet, a phantom toilet, like a magic toilet. They didn't have plumbing. It just went somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe that's what the bowl of the wind did. It wasn't a bidet.
It just goes somewhere.
it just goes somewhere.
Is it a poo portal? A poo portal?
It goes in the bottom of the ways that nobody can see.
So what do you think, like, as a normal everyday Aes Sedai, you have, like, you know, you're in your quarters and you're getting ready for your day. Is there, in the Age of Legends, did they have any specific Tarangreal that you think that was just commonplace that they used all the time?
I think they all had cell phones.
Okay. Yep.
Didn't they describe something that was like a box that was like a communication box that was like completely smooth? So that sounds like a modern day phone to me. Like, we don't have any buttons on our phones anymore.
Correct.
I even have old phones still in my house, and none of them have buttons on them. So,
yeah, and if they didn't have chargers, then how would they know? Because it might have been one that you, like, isn't there ones that you don't need a cord, you just kind of place it on a charging block?
Induction charging, yes, this is a thing now, yeah.
Yeah, so like, if they didn't know to do that, then, you know, this would be a useless piece of plastic.
Plastic would be baffling, too. I mean, we have, like, I mean, I guess the go-to is the red rod Tarangreal, but that's pretty much described as being...
You might say firm, but not hard.
Right, right. Like latexy plastic that didn't, I mean, 12th century people, 15th century people cannot comprehend. It would just be phantom.
Sorry, yelling at the dog, muting.
That's okay. You're allowed to, you know. We have had animals make appearances on the podcast before. We've even had people's mothers appear randomly on the podcast before. So it's quite hilarious. Was it with you boys, wasn't it? Which one moment and suddenly it was like, wait, is someone else here on the recording with us? And it was Zul's mom.
Oh, that's right. Zul's mom had jumped in.
Yeah, Zul didn't realize because she had the power to talk in the channel. She still does, actually.
She does. Wow. Yes, I remember now.
She's like, no, sorry, guys.
That was her. Okay, so we've got cell phones. I think that's quite apt. I feel like there's got to be some kind of shaver device or like hair cutting device.
Right. You know. And I'm thinking a mirror that you just look at yourself and you can transfer the look that you are looking for onto the mirror and it would shape what goes on with your hair.
So like a filter for a phone, but in a mirror.
Right, but then like as soon as you hit the Snapchat or whatever, like your hair actually and your mustache actually looks like.
Oh, okay. We're getting some in chat now. An air conditioner, a shower, self-cleaner. Is that a self-cleaning shower?
Air conditioner is a good one, yes.
Air conditioner is a great one, yes. Mirror, mirror of the mist.
So is a air conditioner like a box of the wind then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Box of the wind.
I'm thinking more like a fan, I guess. But a super efficient, very cold fan.
I would definitely think that they would somehow be able to kind of make some sort of perpetual energy machine where you solve the issue of energy. I'm sure they solve
it. Well, that's just the one power, isn't it? So you could just have a standing flow or something.
Well, I mean, to power, like it was a modern time. Like they were like flying cars and cell phones. Like their chart, they had like, I imagine they had lights and maybe, you know, you got
right. It wasn't just Aes Sedai had that access to that, I would imagine. I think everyone would have it and they had like a magical power source.
Okay. Chat, do you have any other things that you think we've missed with this theory or this discussion? Or even just a turn where you're like, do you know what? I think they had this, or this would be a good thing. We've got some kind of like funky toilet. We've got mobile phones. We've got Wi-Fi. We've got air conditioners, lights, boxes of breezes, things like that. So
boxes of breezes.
Yeah, that was one. Was that? Box of breezes. That was Kev. I love that. Cloth making to Angriel. Oh, okay.
I'm proud of us. Ooh. Not one of us has taken that low-hanging fruit and gone into, like, sexy time.
Not even once.
Nope. No, the red rod was even mentioned, and we were like, oh, okay, cool.
But just the material. Not the use. Just the material.
I'm just going to slide past.
Dishwasher, that's an interesting idea. I like that.
I would think that they would. It would be like the jet or... I mean,
the Jetsons.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Jetsons, but did you guys see WandaVision? Like, yes. Where she just kind of had magic shit going on all the time, and yeah, I guess I said I would do that, but they would also just. I think that they would just have like a toaster and an oven that they would just go and let it do its thing. A Tarangriel is designed for one purpose, and that's more or less what an appliance is. It's designed for one purpose.
Yeah, but you can also just like use compulsion and have a bunch of people do whatever you want for you.
And moving on. No. Okay, I feel like we've sort of beaten this as much as we can against the wall to get out as much discussion. Listeners who aren't here live in Discord, what Tarangriel do you think they had? What other use for the Bowl of Winds you think could happen? Like, what do you think could come from this chat? Let us know. Guess before I let you go, Brother Dan, Ryan, tell us about the Leafcast. Tell us what you guys do and where listeners can find you and enjoy your crazy improv content.
All right, Dan, do you want to roast Jimbo for it?
I'm going rock.
Scissors. I lost. All right, so... We are The Way of the Leaf. We are a YouTube channel mostly, and we do a first time reader show on Thursdays, and we do a spoiler filled live stream on Sundays. These are all occurring on our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you join us. We are funny. We're inventive. It's great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm also going to add to that that the first Sunday of every month, you also host a Watchinary game.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And
I was waiting for Watchinary to mention.
Just gonna shamelessly plug myself there because I'm a captain.
So is Dan,
as well as from Talkcast
co-founder. Yes. Yeah, so
and MK.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, so we have a team doing the Watchinary. Rob's a huge part of it. Dan and Joe from Twatcast and MK Jeunesse and Tree are the team captains.
Yeah.
We get guests from around the Wheel of Time community. They come in. We make them make fun of us, guess our drawings. I am Ryan, the esteemed judge and host and presider of the events. It's super fun.
The honorable puppet.
The honorable. Yes, yes.
Yep. He's the one on the show that, unlike the captains, actually has minus points. But that's mostly thanks to Roni also.
Yeah, Ryan.
Minus 5 points for Ryan.
You can find us pretty much anywhere on as The Way of the Leaf. On YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, and I guess on Instagram?
Yes.
I know, on Discord. So The Way of the Leaf, if you see puppets, that's us.
This is true. They are some gorgeous looking puppets, and you'll see me on their show. Occasionally you'll see a puppet called Gray on the show.
Daddy.
Hashtag not your father. I love hashtag. I went to say that and Ryan was like, Daddy.
Well, Ryan's name in the Discord chat is Gray's son, Ryan.
Yes. Yeah. Every time I go to tag Ryan in anything in the server, I was just like, I just start typing Ryan, it comes up Gray's son, Ryan. I just want to be like, hashtag not your father.
Hashtag deadbeat is more like it.
Yeah. So good.
I love that bit. I love that. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And Tree, tell us about your server and you know where people can find you. Where's the best place to hit you up for artsy discussions and engagements and so on and so forth?
All right. Well, I think I'm pretty much on all of the Wheel of Time Discords. If you're looking for me, you can just send me a DM if you wanted to commission an art piece. You can join my Discord server, which is the Treehouse, and like we hang out, listen to music, and we draw together and share our art. And sometimes I have like art challenges, and there's all kinds of stuff. Like we have a sewing center, we have like cosplay.
It is the most open, welcoming, loving server on Discord.
This is true. Yes.
You guys are an
yes, we want everybody.
You guys are a hug digitalized.
which the name the name of the server might be misleading. Treehouses are usually like kids are fighting over them. No girls allowed, no boys allowed, right?
What's a password? No. We just like build a new loft for any new art form. You just get your own space. We love it.
I love the names of the rooms because there's a lot of ventures going on in there. So
Art Venture, yeah.
Art Venture. Garden.
And that's Leroy.
There's Leroy. You were saying hello.
Yeah.
And actually, I've gotten a newfound appreciation for origami from watching your page.
Jay Gami's Venture.
Jay Gami's Venture.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah.
It's cosplay venture, music ventures, Dean's Wood Den. We'll just leave that there and you can find out for yourself why it's there.
yeah.
I love it. And Tree, am I right in thinking you I'll cut it if you don't. You have a shop, don't you, Tree?
Okay. I do. I just opened an Etsy store.
Yes.
I just have 3 paintings on there right now, but it's thanks, Leroy.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, there you go.
It's called Tree X Art on Etsy.
Well,
and
that
Leroy
is
says it's great.
Exciting. I got to write this down.
I've seen pieces on there and they are epic. And you will get quality work because, Tree, am I right in thinking that you will have the artwork, you will inspect each piece of artwork that
gets made and sent before it actually gets sent out to the people that are purchasing. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I will get it sent to me first, like, on a custom canvas. And, like, I have a few sizes you can choose from, and then I will sign it myself.
There we go.
And then I will also, like, if you want something written on the back, like, I'm willing to write, like, a special message.
Tree, you're in Discord, by the way.
Oh. Just listen again, everyone.
Yeah, just listen back.
Download the podcast.
I was just saying. Udo has opinion as well.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Well, you gotta get comfortable plugging yourself. So try it again. It's okay.
Ready? Wait. Dad.
Yeah.
How about promoting yourself?
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, so I have the Etsy store, and there's a few different, like, size canvases you can choose from. I'll get the canvas shipped to me first so I can look over and make sure it's all good, and then I will sign it myself, and then I will, like, write a custom message on the back if you want that. And Leroy is very excited about the Etsy store.
There we go. I love it.
Yeah, so I'm working on a couple new paintings to add, which should be out by the end of June.
I suppose I should shamelessly plug myself or promote myself, depending on whether it's Ryan or Dan doing it. but yeah, if you want to let us know what you thought about the things we talked about this episode or any episode we've done, if you want to go back to episode 5 or 6 or whatever it was and listen to the Leaf Boys' first appearance and see if they've got crazier or saner over the past, 8 months, 10 months, something of that nature.
This one was way more tame, Rob.
This was, yes.
Way more tame. I'm proud of that. We stayed on topic for the most part.
My psychiatrist is going to be really proud when he hears this episode.
But yeah, you can let me know what you thought. MalkitTalks@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter @MalkyrieR. We'll also find my Tam jokes. If you like more narrations, now that I've done a narration in the podcast, if you want to hear more of those, or come to Steading Soul Food, thank you, Wolf Brother 7, then you can hit me up on YouTube for those things there, also called Malkier Talks. Oh God, what else do I do? Yeah, there's a live recording every month in Discord. There's a live stream on YouTube once a month, different parts of the month and things like that. But come check out MalkyrieCon at the end of June. That is on YouTube. But there will be a quiz based in the Discord server as well midway through the show. So it's going to be a couple of live streams. I've got like 10 different guests coming on in different groupings. The Leaf cast will be there. Andrew's joining. Zul's going to be there. I'm just trying to think. Oh, there's so many people now.
If you forget one person, they're going to be heard.
Right? Road to Tavalon. Oh, gosh. Now, who have I invited and not said anything? I love you all. You're awesome.
I wish I could see your face right now.
Too much pressure.
And I mean, I'm not hurt, but I haven't seen my
anybody yet.
I'm just kidding.
Narg was supposed to do that, I think. Or it's Gray. Yeah,
Narg, did you send me? Did you send me invites? Yeah, there we go. So it's. Yes, that is on the 27th of June. Am I saying let me make sure I say the right date there. 27th of June is a Sunday. So it's going to be hilarious. It will be pre-Leaf show, obviously, but there'll be stuff after because I'm doing too much stuff. Adverts we put out, and there will be information with all of my wonderful guests who I've probably failed to name some of. Sorry. And if you want to support what I do and help me actually do this professionally or something of that nature as opposed to just randomly say it at 2:30 in the morning, you can support the show on Patreon. Well, everything there goes towards improving the content, improving equipment, things in the kitchen, whatever it might be. And there's some awesome goodies up for grabs and a fun little section of Discord for you guys to chat and just to have some Patreon only access to me because, you know, I'm very inaccessible, obviously.
Rob, be more shameless about it. You know what, you guys, you go out to eat, you tip your server $5. If you enjoy Rob's content, he has a way for you to tip him. It's through Patreon. Throw him $5 for a show or $2 or $1. I mean, seriously, Rob's, he's doing, God's work down here. He is everywhere. You are right, Hensky. Yes, so he does deserve the support, and I mean, so think of it as a tip. I mean, you would tip someone who brings you a beer. How about someone who's working their ass off to bring some podcast stuff to you? You have the chance.
Thank you so much, brother Dan.
Hey, man. That is very shameless. Let's do it.
Yeah. Ryan, Dan, Tree, thank you for joining me on this live bit of chaos. And we'll just finish up with Kev's comment there of just the tip. And until next time, everybody, may you always find water and just the tip. Yeah. Well, maybe water in the shade, but yeah. Love it.